That was the fear around making a decision before, was that I was afraid that, it would be a decision that I could never pull back from. And the idea that this decision is not something that's irreversible helps me see, yeah, I'm choosing to take this path every day and I'm choosing to go along with this. And this is not something I'm being dragged along into. It is something I want and I desire and something that I'm called to. And so I want to fulfill that, you know, and I don't think that we spend a lot of time thinking about that in life is what we really need and want.
Welcome to the Holistic Career Change Podcast. Spoiler alert, we don't discuss conventional, linear, boring career change here. This is the place where we talk about finding an aligned career path that feels like an extension of who you are, where you get paid for being yourself. Forget personality quizzes, soul-crushing scrolling on job sites, and breaking your brain trying to find your why. Join me and many other career changers who've changed their career holistically by first defining who they are at their core and then using this blueprint to design a fulfilling career or business. We use the mind-body-soul approach, and we take into consideration the complexity and multidimensionality of all that you are and want to represent in the world. This is where purpose-led careers are born and built. I'm your host, Vilma Osaite. Let's go. Hello, everyone. So good to be connecting with you again. I am bringing you another career change story. And I know how much you guys love other changers share their journey towards just more authenticity, more self-expression, not only at work, but in their lives in general. And this one is so good. I feel like a proud coach. Because I get to introduce you to my amazing client, Michelle, who is switching from working in the wine industry. And she's been doing that for many years at this point. And also, I know what you're thinking, because that's what I was thinking, which is, oh, you work in wine? Does that mean that you get to taste wine and travel around the world and visit these amazing, magical foreign vineyards and chat to handsome winemakers? Apparently, turns out the behind the scenes are not so glamorous. She's going to share a little bit about that. But Michelle is actually switching from wine imports to marriage and family therapy. What a change. I just love her story because I would say that she's gone through almost a textbook case of a career change process. She went through all of the stages that I speak about on this podcast, and she overcame some massive resistance and changed old sabotaging patterns that had kept her so stuck and so unfulfilled, yet completely terrified of choosing a new career path. And in our conversation, we also chat about just how much Michelle was paralyzed to make any decision in her life, and she was convinced she can't make, quote unquote, a wrong decision at this stage of her life. Sounds familiar? Looking at you? A lot of us have the same thought. We also discuss toxic relationships with work. We love analyzing toxicity in relationships. We love talking about it, unpacking it. But the same is actually true for work. We could find ourselves getting into toxic relationships with work as an entity. And we will also go into detail about those couple of pivotal moments of the process that completely changed the trajectory of Michelle's future. And she will also share what actually happened when she made that decision to commit to this new line of work. And that's my favorite part. You need to listen to the end to hear that story because it's so illuminating. And she does a wonderful job illustrating the inner blocks, the protective mechanisms that kick in when we try to pivot, when we try to do something new. It's a whole transformation, and I can't wait for you to hear her story. Enjoy. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the Holistic Career Change Podcast.
Hi, Vilma. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, I'm super excited. Yeah, I feel like it's a little bit, do I remember correctly? Because I feel like it's a little bit of a full circle moment because you were like a podcast listener before you reached out, right?
Oh no, I have an issue with podcasts. I listen to them way too much. But I do love your podcast in particular, and especially as I was beginning my journey through this understanding of the need to switch careers, finding your podcast in the holistic side of it. I knew it was a perfect fit. So I listened to your podcast for a long time and enjoyed it a lot before I reached out. So yeah, no, it is full circle. I got a lot from it and I continue to listen even. So
Yeah, good. Well, I know that like when people hear your story, you're gonna be the same for them, like sharing inspiration, permission, insights, mini transformations that I know a lot of people need, especially when you're on this journey, because I talk about that a lot, and maybe you can relate. At the beginning, especially, it can feel really lonely, or even through it, because you don't have a lot of people necessarily or a community that go through that in the same way that you are. Right. And even though each journey is very individual, there are certain stages, phases, aspects, fears that are quite similar. So I think hearing someone else's story can be so inspiring and validating for your own experience. Right.
No, I agree. And it is a journey that you're essentially taking alone because it is your personal journey. But knowing that, like, all of the feelings that you're going through are things that people have survived and thrived from eventually,
Yeah.
that does help a lot. And just knowing that it's a normal process, you're not weird. Like, it's not a weird journey for you. Like, it is your own and it's personal, like I said, but it's not, it, you're not alone. You're right. It
Exactly.
is a wonderful feeling to know that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's start with the dreaded question. Michelle just told me before recording, she was like, I just don't like answering that question. I don't know what to say. Let's try. Please
Yes.
introduce yourself.
Oh, goodness. Well, it's always this like existential question of like, who am I, right? And I think I overthink it a little bit. But just for a sense of where I'm coming from, I am 40. I am a mom of two little boys who are 8 and 6, so still little. And then I am recently divorced, I guess. It's been about 3 years, so not so recent. I work in current my current career is in the wine industry, which sounds so fabulous. And
It
everybody's
does,
always like, oh,
though.
that
It
sounds
does.
so wonderful. It's the wine business, and I work as a brand manager at an import company. So my actual job is to communicate directly with the wineries in the portfolio that I have. So it is been a fulfilling career at some point. I did enjoy the business for a long time, and it allows me to expand some of the muscles that I enjoy, like the relationship muscles and the interactions and things like that. I do enjoy that side of it, but yeah, it's just become a not aligned path for me, as you like to say. So yeah, that's it in a nutshell. I mean, like a lot of that, those pieces fit into who I am, as far as where I am in my life, also. And I think it's just that obviously doesn't encompass my full being. I also like yoga. I like mindfulness. I like taking runs and exercise and nutrition and things like that. And so I have a lot of pieces outside of those realms, but that kind of gives an idea of where I'm coming from. So
Love that. It does sound fancy. When I first learned, I was like,
the
are you
wine
like
business,
traveling? Yeah, you're just like traveling around the world and like tasting wines. You do.
yeah, that's like 5% of the job. So the
We
rest
do
is
good.
Excel spreadsheets and putting fires out and things like that. So
Yeah. I want to sort of talk a little bit about at the beginning when we met, and maybe even a little bit before. Like, I'd love for you to share, how did you realize, or how did you come to the decision that, you know what, like, I need to change. Something has to change because this is not working. So, like, what were you experiencing? What were you feeling at work that made you realize that I'm very scared? And we'll talk about that, about your fears, right? I'm really scared, but also need to do something. I can't go on like this. What was happening?
Well, I think that a lot of it was COVID and then my divorce. And then I got to this point at work where I just burnt myself out. Like I tried and I cared. And for, like I said, for a long time, I've been with this company for over 10 years at this point. And there was a point when I was very invested and very much it seemed like the path for me. At one point I was like, I'm going to get it all the way to CEO. And then 2020 happened, and it just, I mean, I think for everybody, it kind of realigned priorities. And then I got this giant project and I burnt myself out. And then it was another project, and then it was another, and it was just piled on top of the other and exacerbated it. And so at that point I had to decide, like, is this job, or is this career, or is this me? Like, what is the deal here? Why is this not feel good anymore? And at some point during my divorce process, the separation and all that, that my career was all I had. I like clung to it because it was like my one piece of normality, you know? I feel like at some point during that process, I realized that I was clinging to something that didn't fit for me anymore. And it just caused way more physical issues, mental issues. Like I thought about it all the time. It just worried me and stressed me out way beyond what I could handle. And I just got to a point where it wasn't good anymore. I don't like the job I'm doing. I don't like the pieces of the job I'm doing. There's only like bits that I can peel apart from this that really align with who I am. And that's when I found your podcast, because I was just looking for any sort of like guidance. You know, the generation before my mom and stuff, they're like, yeah, it's a job. It's not play. It's work. And that's what you just do for a living. And when I found your podcast, I was like, that's not acceptable anymore. I can't live like that. Like, I want a job that has purpose and meaning. And this job stopped having that, essentially.
I love that you touched on so many good points here. First of all, that sometimes when we are moving through change, I talk about that we are being prepared for change. And even though we don't know yet, but we kind of are. And when we look back, we connect the dots and we're like, okay, I see why I had to go through that. Even your divorce, right? You and I just briefly spoke about it before recording. It was kind of like a little bit of a catalyst for you to also reevaluate, right? And ask those questions, because probably without it, I'm not sure if we would be here talking today. What do you think?
I think listening to your podcast too about like the dark night of the soul was while I was in process of that divorce, and I was like, yes, that is exactly what it's like. And again, it was the same process through this. But I'd already been through it. I had already had to process it before with that, because that was such, I mean, I'd been in that relationship for more than half of my life at that point. So I think that was that process was something I had to endure once. And so when I went started this process, I already knew what it was going to be like. But I feel like some of the pieces that you talked about that people go through in this process specifically, like how the feedback from other people can affect how you feel about your transition, is something that I had already gone through like times a million with my divorce, because I had to let down, you know, my spouse and my kids and my family and all that, let down, quote unquote, I say. But I had to transition them into a new mode of thinking as well around that. And so this was also a transition around mindset for them, but to a lesser degree than that was. So I feel like I'd already gone through that once, but I can totally empathize with people who have to do that with the career as well. It's like, it's not easy to change how people view you. And this is essentially what you're doing in this process. So.
Oh, so good. It's like so funny how sometimes you choosing you will upset your loved ones.
Yeah, it
Right?
is. It is. It's how it's interesting how invested people are in you.
They are
in their view of you. How invested they are in their view of you, and how affecting that affect like it affects them because they have to think about how they think about themselves too. So it's just really hard. But it's hard to know that you're doing that to people that you care about and love.
Yeah.
And especially to like my kids who are tiny. Like I don't want to mess up their worldview, but at the same time. I had to come to grips with the fact that I'm taking this time to figure myself out and say, I'm becoming myself. I'm finding my genuine self. And this is a process that they'll see and hopefully they'll know that that's okay for them too.
Yeah.
And that's what I just had to tell myself over and over again and still tell myself over and over again. No lie. So
yeah, the journey through it is not easy, but absolutely people like you said are so invested in their image of us, and that's okay. And I do believe that all of us are people pleasers. Like I just believe all of us are people pleasers. We're social animals. We're conditioned to care about other what other people think. Maybe we're just on a different scale, but all of us are. Right.
Yeah.
So when we see people upset or having opinions or projecting, of course, we will want to listen and tune in. And then sometimes we will lose the connection to our compass, our core, our truth, especially because it's still so new and fragile. Right. That's why I'm sure, like you said, you going through divorce was kind of like that training ground that allowed you to then step into this topic of your life. And also another piece that I really want to just briefly mention about, because I think it's so good what you said about the fact that when you were going through divorce and everything in your life felt uncertain, the career, your job, even though it was kind of becoming apparent that it's misaligned, it served you. It provided you with security and safety and structure and familiarity, which we need.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm grateful that I had it at the time. I'm still grateful I have the job. I feel like it's definitely not aligned and it's not for me, but it's not a bad position. And I think it could be super exciting and lovely for someone else, but just isn't in alignment with me now. But at that time, yeah, I needed something and it everything was new and different. And then, like I said, it was just at the worst point in like a time because it was during the pandemic and the lockdown and all that. So, it was a really difficult time, but I think that having that career at that point, having those, my colleagues who I adore, like there, as just, you know, they're not helping me through this emotionally, but they're there. And I know that I can rely on them if I log on that they're there. So that helps. That helped my mental state at the time.
Yeah. Totally. I love that. So the reason why I wanted to highlight that is because a lot of the times we kind of go into that like black or white or binary thinking is kind of like this job I either hate and it's not serving me and I want something completely different without realizing that everything at some point in our life is of service. The question is, how long will you stay after it stops serving you? Same with relationships, same with choices, same with everything, right? It's like, how long will you stay over when you should already be packing up and moving on to the next challenge and adventure? So what I want to also touch upon and ask you to share a little bit more about is how you felt like at the beginning of the process, especially when it comes to like fears and reservations that you had about your choice. Because when we start, right, we all... It's a little kitty who wants to be in the podcast.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm not even going to edit that out.
Okay.
what I wanted to ask you about were the fears that you expressed that you had about like choosing a different path, right? So a lot of these fears or questions are actually very common. That's what I want you to share because I hear it over and over again, which is I can't afford to make the wrong decision. The decision has to be quote unquote right for me at this stage in my life, right? Already quote unquote, you know, kind of went through all of this experience with my divorce. This has to be right. So that the right or wrong thinking, right? And also, I guess, feeling quite stuck and like really struggling to understand how you could change career because that feel like such an insurmountable big thing when we start out. And to some extent, probably still we'll go through that. We'll talk about it later. Can you share more about that?
Yeah, it's so funny though when you put it like that. Like that's how I feel I'll say, and it's a healing process. I'm still in the healing process, but there was a time when every decision felt like that. Like every decision, I'd sit in the store and look at, I think I told you this at one point, like I'll sit in the store and I'll look at all the brands of shampoo. And I'm like, well, I need one that's paraben free and I need one that's organic and I need one or whatever it is that I'm looking for. I need one that's color safe. And so I'm pulling all of them off the shelf and looking at them closely and doing the research. And it's like, I was immobilized by my indecision. Analysis paralysis. And mm-hmm. this was like not every single decision, but any decision I thought was of importance, which apparently is shampoo. So like, but any, especially big decisions, my divorce, like that took months and months and months, as it should, to decide on that. But as far as like this career thing, this career progression, I spent months in misalignment at my job, like just thinking that I couldn't make a change. There's just no possible way for me to do that.
I remember
and then,
that.
And then I spent months and months, researching things and trying to figure out like how to make a small change, how to make a tiny bit of difference. And then it was the crisis of like, but is this really what I want to do? Like, if I'm going to make a change, do I want to make a little change or do I want to go ahead and like jump in? And that's when we started our journey together. And I think that highlighted this whole like thing within my brain of this indecision and how I feel like every decision I make is a right or a wrong decision. Like I am going to make the wrong decision. So I need to do all the research to make sure that I make the right decision. Mm-hmm. And I was going through this whole thing and you're talking to me one day and you're like, what if there isn't a wrong decision? It's like, wait, what? No, there's always a right decision. And there's always a wrong decision. So that means it's always a wrong decision. And just that mindset around, no, it's not a wrong decision. Like, even if it's not the most serving decision or the best decision for the moment, it's not the wrong decision because you'll most likely learn something from it. Yeah. Or if that wasn't the path for you, or that wasn't the shampoo for you, or whatever. And what is the harm in picking the thing that is quote unquote wrong? Like knowing that I was going through the process in a way that was healthy. And for me, it took a while, but that was the timeline that I needed to make a decision, be confident in the decision and say, yes, that's the career path for me. I feel like now I make decisions a lot easier because I realize that, I mean, if I make the wrong, quote unquote, wrong decision, that it's just one piece and it's not irreversible ever, almost never. So, almost never. That helped so much, like in this whole process, just knowing that sometimes you just have to make a decision mm-hmm. and go with it and then see how it feels.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that because it's exploratory instead of fearful.
Yeah. You want that. Yeah.
Yeah. Less fear, more exploration.
Oh, love that. No, 100%. I do remember because when we did like the thought work at the, and I think, yeah, I do remember now that you're sharing, like we coached on that quite a bit, right? Because you were like, listen, this is paralyzing even my everyday decisions. Like I will spend some, because we're coaching on time, right? You and I coach a lot on time, still coach on time, yes, right? Yes. It's a thing, it's a thought, but we already know that. And I'd be like, so why, like, you know, we were kind of digging in and trying to understand. So why do you always feel like you're running out of time? And then one of the things that we uncovered, like you said, like decision-making takes a long time. That's mm-hmm. why sometimes you will be spending a lot of time on simple decisions and then running out of time for self-care, for kids, for whatever it is that you wanted to spend the time on, right?
Yeah.
Not the whole full picture in terms of the time conversation, but that was one of the things. And I love that you now are giving yourself so much more permission to be like, let me just play, let me try. There are no hard consequences where I'm going to like lose karma points because I make this decision, right? Like it's yes, just yes. not how it works. If anything, the universe is all about pushing us to make decisions and learn and grow. This is how we sometimes learn the most through making a decision and figuring out it's not for me.
Yes.
Versus exactly. deliberating about it. I think the reason all the time, the reason why we do or do not do something, right, is because we're avoiding to feel an emotion, or we're seeking to feel an emotion, right? So when we're avoiding to make a decision, we're oftentimes avoiding or trying to avoid feeling disappointment, frustration, whatever it is, right? So we would rather than not make a decision, because even if we're in confusion, it's better than disappointment, annoyance, whatever it is that we're trying to avoid, right? So also giving ourselves compassion to understand, yeah, that's normal. That's human nature, of course.
Yeah, exactly. No, the self-compassion is a big piece. One of the exercises I loved, speaking of avoiding emotion, that you brought to the table was that one where you sit with your emotions and you just like feel them and you see them in your mind's eye. And how do they feel in your body? Where are you feeling them? And you just feel them, like you just work through them. So, yeah. So like the opposite of meditation, where you're trying to like get out of your own head, it's getting inside your own body, which I didn't realize I was so disconnected from. But now, even like when I'm having a day, I'll sit and just be like, oh. How does that feel in my body? And feel it through. And it helps so much. I love that exercise personally. So
yeah, it's the releasing, like making space then for other things. 100%. Also, I love like this in general, just a more holistic approach where like we're bringing in the body, right? We're bringing in all parts of us to make a decision that, like you said at the beginning, feels good. Before we move into, and I'm sure that like we're keeping the listeners on the edge, we're like, what did she choose? What is she going to do? I think it's going to be in the title. So maybe they already know. But before we go there, I want to talk about a relationship with work. Sometimes or oftentimes, because of lack of awareness, we don't look at work as a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. We know that we can have toxic relationships with people. We forget to look at work through the same lens of like, okay, how am I showing up in this relationship with work? Am I being my best self? Am I going into my old patterns, right? What is happening? And I think with you, especially when we were sort of analyzing what was going on with your work, what became also apparent, which you probably knew, but we expanded the unit a little bit, was how much your work became an extension of like your identity and self-worth. And if something went wrong, you would make it mean that like, you know, you were wrong or you're not capable, right? It was like almost one and the same, to the point, remember we coached on you asking for help and you were like, well, I can't ask for help because if I do, then I will look stupid or people will perceive me as so-and-so, right?
Yes. You know, there's still days like that. It's always going to be a process your whole life. So I think that me going through this with you and work and just like your ability to highlight that was really helpful, because I feel like I could sense that I was getting like deeper and deeper into this toxicity with work. But it just felt insurmountable at some point. And that's when call in the help. So like you said, I was using this to create some normalcy in my life. And then on top of that, like that identity within work was my identity. And for a long time, that's how I kept my sanity, which is great. But at some point, like when I burnt out, I became toxic too, like in the workplace. I was very negative, and there's still days when it still seeps in, honestly. But it just becomes like this ball of negativity. I could see myself becoming that, and I hate that. I'm not a pessimistic person, but I was becoming this ball of negativity around work, and sort of like spreading that around as well. And I hated that portion. Working through some of the thoughts around it, I realized that created so much extra effort on my part. So much extra energy was being spent on just procrastinating and hating and complaining and all that. Like, it was just so much. And then on top of it, seeing how negative I was being and how it bled into my life and all of the things, I just was like, this is not something has to change. So that that's the change. But also after our thought work, realizing that a lot of it was mindset too, and having to let that go. Like, it's really hard to let go of the animosity and the anger and the bitterness and all that towards people, but then to let it go towards, like, it's like nothing. It's a thing. Like, it's not, it's just the job, you know, it's just a job, and it's not necessarily towards a person. It's just the position. And you're like, how do you do that? How do you let that go? But it is something that you have to let go. It's a forgiving, it's yeah. essentially forgiveness.
Forgiveness, but it's also, accepting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's acceptance. Exactly. And it's a radical acceptance of this is where I am now. And this is where I'm supposed to be right now, but yeah. this isn't where I have to be forever. Yeah. And I think that us working through that thought process gradually, it took a while to get to that point, but realizing, like, and really, really believing that took a long time. I think I could tell myself that all day, but just like you said, it's that the rungs of the ladder, you have to go up and it, make a believable thought. And yeah. so it worked. I worked my way up to that, believing that this was a place that I needed to be for now, but it was temporary.
Yeah. And you don't have to love it, right? Because sometimes we hold against and be like, oh, I don't care about it anymore. I don't love it. I'm like, yeah, why would you? It's misaligned, right?
Well, and that's the thing is I realized that I don't love it. And at one point I did, but I don't want to hate it. Which is what exactly. I was, because that's not a good place. That's still the energy. You're still using energy towards it. And so I've gotten to a place, most days where it is, it's not an energy, suck anymore. It is the job, and I will do it as best as I can with the energy that I have. And then when it's the end of the day, I'm going to close my computer and not think about it until the next day. And when I'm in the job and something comes up for me emotionally, this idea that because I didn't do that well, that means I'm not a good person, or because I didn't do that well, I'm incapable of doing anything well. Like, when those thoughts come up, I can say, no, I just bungled this one thing. Yeah. And tomorrow the next hour, I'll do something better. And it doesn't mean anything about me personally. It's yeah. just a job. Like at this point,
it's not, it's like separating me from my action, right? Exactly. I'm worthy. And yes, sometimes I will still make a mistake. Absolutely. Because I'm human. I misheard, misread, you know what I mean? Like, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And having that space to know that, yeah, everybody makes mistakes. It helps you with your relationships, like at work and with everybody, and giving them grace. But you have to have the same grace for yourself too.
Oh my gosh, I love this so, so much. Because, and I love how honest you are about that. You know, sometimes I call it indulging in those negative, overwhelming emotions is yeah. addiction, right? We're like, it's easier sometimes to just hate on the job, hate on the boss, hate on the colleague, and be just like in the cycle of, like you said, constant negativity, until we realize, because it's so compulsive, we sometimes don't know. Is that what part of those autopilot response systems where you're like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just hating it and feeling low all the time, right? But like that healing that happens when you realize, hold on, I am the one who is creating that. Like the only person who is being hurt by this is me.
Yeah.
Because I'm stealing my energy. I'm bringing my frequency down. I don't have ideas. I'm always tired. I'm negative. It's affecting all of my relationships.
You don't want to feel that way, but you're not wrong for feeling it. Because exactly. if you feel bad about feeling bad, then you're just going to continue the cycle. So I think it's just breaking that pattern and getting into a new one and saying, it's okay. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel bad. It's okay to be mad at work. I didn't mean to Dr. Seuss that, but like, it's okay. Like all your feelings are okay. But how are you going to utilize those to grow, essentially?
Yeah. So, how do you take that as information and data versus getting stuck in it. Because what it is symptoms. I always go back to the same symptoms of misalignment, what you're experiencing, right? And it's time to shift something. So I love it. Okay. Another piece that I loved with your process is that I often see happen. So I think quite a lot of people will be able to relate is when you came to the first sessions, if I recall, I have the worst memory, but I think I recall that, was you presented yourself like someone who is misaligned, but you don't know what you want to do, right? Yeah. You're like, listen, I need the process to figure it out. And it kind of slipped throughout our conversation because I always ask people, but what do you know? But what do you like? Because there are things you already know, you just don't allow yourself to acknowledge that, right? And the answer is always here. Yeah. Always. I'm pointing, I'm putting my palm in front of my face and be like, it's literally here. We're just looking everywhere around us. So when you came in, one of the things that you mentioned, like flippantly, like passing by, was like, well, you know, my therapist jokes that I should go into therapy, right? That she sees me in therapy. But, you know, I don't know, like, I don't think it's agile, right? Kind of played it down. And as we went through the process and started having conversations, started the blueprint, it became apparent you are someone who has a lot of qualities, interests, like the environments that you want to be in is very much in alignment with a career in therapy or in a helping profession, at least, right? It became apparent, right? Talk to me how you like saw that or like how that career looked like for you at the beginning and what was going on when you were kind of downplaying this piece? Was it because you were like, well, I'm not sure if it's aligned. I shouldn't even consider that. Like what was happening?
So quite a few things actually. Yes, I had never done therapy until obviously all the separation stuff. And I started individual therapy and family or marriage therapy. And my individual therapist, who is wonderful, she and I were talking one day and I was talking about dating. I was like, oh, these guys, blah, blah, blah. I love dating, because I would go out and I'd meet these people and I talk to them and I'm telling her all about these dates and how like meeting all these people are so interesting and yada, yada. It's like, oh, it didn't work out. Like most of the time it doesn't work out, but just like meeting them and getting different perspectives and like reading them, was interesting. And I'm telling her about one particular person and she's like, sounds like you're mind mapping him. I was like, I don't know what that means, but she went into the whole idea of like what mind mapping is and how it is that you can kind of see the connections where people are coming from and kind of understand what they're thinking and how they're thinking about it, was how she explained it to me. And I was like, oh yeah, no, that's normal, isn't it? She's like, no, not really. So she mentioned that. She's like, have you ever thought about being a therapist? Because you talk about how crazy your job is driving you and you just have to go get your master's and get licensed and all that. And you could be a therapist. And I'm like, what? No, I've never thought about being a therapist before. And I went and got in the car and I was driving and I was like, oh, that, I mean, that sounds like a cool job. I guess I'd be okay at it. I do like listening to people and talking to people and figuring people out. But the more I thought about it, I'm like, but it's school and it's so much work and it's so hard. And I'm almost 40 and it's just like, I'm so old, way too old to start. Like I'm way too old to start a new career. And like, you have a good career. It's solid and all that. Like you're just, you know, you're just like out of crazy. So I went through that. And then, my job became more and more obvious how misaligned it was. And I started thinking about it more and I was like, it's still those same thoughts coming up. Like going back to school seems really expensive and really hard and a big time commitment. And that means I have to be there for so long and all that. So there's gotta be something else. Like there's gotta be an easier path here. I've gotta find something that makes sense to me. And I don't want to make a wrong decision.
So, of course. Let's put sprinkle that on top of that.
So I don't want to make the wrong decision. So I better make sure that I got the right decision. Mm. And here's someone who has a holistic point of view, which is what I like in my whole life, a holistic point of view who really dives into it and will help tell me what I need to do.
Yeah, she'll tell you.
Yeah, she'll tell me what I need to do. I'll send her like a survey, and then she'll come back and we'll talk and she'll give me an idea. Yeah. And so it's not what this is.
Yeah, it's not like, yeah.
That's
like...
not the program at all. So yeah, I mentioned that at the beginning, and my other idea was nutrition, because I really, really like that. I'm, like I said, at the top of the hour, I'm a big podcast listener. I listen to all sorts of podcasts, but my favorites are self-help and nutrition. And so those were kind of my ideas, but I was also like, there's a whole world of possibilities. Like let's open it up. And so we went through the blueprints, and the blueprints were helpful. I think the most helpful thing in this whole process though, was the thought work. Mm. And I have to say, I'm not the hugest fan of the model.
don't say that, Michelle.
No, but I mean it in that it's hard. Like, it's hard to have to like look at yourself in the face.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It's confronting.
And it dregs up so many feelings. Like, every time I would do a thought model, and I had to do what you recommended, was like start it and then I'd walk away. And then I come back and like when I was a little bit cooler and do it. Mm. But I say that it was the hardest part. And at points of my least favorite part of this process, but it was the most important part of this process.
100%.
Because I could not, like you, I think in one of your podcasts, you mentioned that that's like that foundation you have to lay.
Yeah.
Without that consistent every week thought model. Like love work to do, yeah. Over and over again, and us going through it and us looking at it and seeing that like incremental progress. I couldn't get to the mindset I'm at, at all. Like, I don't know how I would have arrived at this, if I hadn't done it, just because it was a lot of that reset. It was a reset.
And inner, like going through inner resistance, because everything that you mentioned about, well, I want something. I don't want to go back to school. I'm too old. What else did you say? Too expensive. I don't have the time.
Yeah.
This is where gremlins join the party.
Come in
the gremlins to the party. They always come, right? Uninvited. Yes. So what happens then, people, as opposed to you focusing on the end goal of like, oh my goodness, it would be so much fun to be in a career that is aligned, and I get, people would pay me to do what I do for free now, right? And like, it would be, I could analyze everyone and mind map. And yes, absolutely not everyone mind maps. What people usually do is think about themselves and how they feel in a date. And also, people don't like dating. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is very not normal. The most unique way, right? So as opposed to us focusing on like, what would that feel like to be in that aligned path? We go into the process and we focus and zoom in on all the obstacles that we think there are. And then those obstacles become like a big wall that we can't get over. We're like, well, I can't, right? You bump into the same wall and then we stall. And then that's why we don't take action. And to your point, I know the thought work is not always sexy, like I say, but without it, we would still be, you know, analysis paralysis and thinking like, oh, should I become a vet? I don't know, like what would come, like, yeah. I don't know what you would come up with next.
Goodness only knows, Wilma. And I agree. Like, and I still go back and reference that. Like I like you said before, with time, like time is always a big thing with me and it, you know, holdovers from childhood or whatever. But as far as like this time thing and this mentality around like, I don't have enough time to do all the things. I have little kids. I have to do this. I have to work. I have to, you know, keep a house, like whatever it is. It just like, I see the thought. And before it was just like, I could see it. I knew it was there, but I didn't know how to execute a plan around like adjusting that thought or just in adjusting the feeling around it. And now I know that I can follow the model either internally or externally on paper, but I can follow that model and say, okay, this is what your thought is and why you're feeling this way. And how can you adjust that thought a little bit? Like I said, incremental steps, like a little bit so that it's believable and it's true and it helps the the feeling around it. And that's not something I would have ever intuitively known to do, because gremlins are too loud. They just yell.
And we're not taught that, right? This is such a basic principle that we all kind of know, right? Like, it's not completely new information.
No.
But also we just, don't have the actionable tools sometimes of how to like work. I still catch myself doing that too as well, where I'm like, I'm feeling something and then I walk around for like 3 hours upset about something. And then I'm like, Vilma, it's a thought. It's optional. Hello. Right. Yes. This is such a human experience. We just have amnesia sometimes. And to your point, I really love that you embrace the thought work. And you can see, and you guys, for those of you who are into astrology, Michelle is a Virgo, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So we know we love our Virgos. We know that they do a lot of this perfectionistic, obsessive thinking. It is generalizing, obviously, but at least I'm learning that with thought work, that really it benefits Virgos a lot, because otherwise you can get stuck in a thought, in a mindset, or like what you did, gaslight yourself, telling yourself, but my job is not that bad, right? Like, people are getting fired, it's COVID, like, it's fine, I should just be happy, right? So that's gaslighting, like telling you should feel something you're not feeling. And so you really embrace those tools. And I remember one time, I think you still refer to it, one of the shifts that kind of sort of stopped you in a track is, even though thought work was helping, sometimes you would, skip on that, or sometimes it would be too, the gremlin would be too strong and you would allow it to take over. And so at one session, I asked you, when you were like, oh, Vilma, I know, like, I should be doing this, I should do more thought work and all of that. I was like, great. And you were like, but I'm still afraid to commit. I'm still afraid to make that decision, right? And then I asked you, like, what's the alternative? What's the alternative of you not going through the process, not working through gremlins and not committing to a new career? And you told me that that was that point where like really kind of woke you up, is a little bit of a slap in your face, where like fast forward 5 years and you're still in the same company feeling even worse.
Oh, right? No, it was a complete, that in conjunction with the future self meditation, those two really, and I go back to them over and over again. Like, my process is a long-term process. And so looking at ahead, and I always have done that. I always look ahead and I always try to plan for the future and yada, yada. But that idea of like, if I just stay here and do nothing, I'm just going to be here in 5 years. I'm going to be here and it's not going to be better. And like, there is nothing that this company could do at this point that's going to make it, or it's not even the company. There's nothing in this position or this field that they can do that's going to make me all of a sudden be in alignment with this path. So like, the fact that I'd be in this same position in 5 years was horrifying to me. It was just, I hate to say it like that, but it was just like, no, I can't do that. Like, I just can't. And the idea that I could do something now for future me, the future me that I saw, the future me that I want to work towards, like, that is a stronger pull than the discomfort that I might feel now. So, that took a long time to get to, but that one session we had where you said that, I was like, okay, yeah, nope, I got to buckle down. I got to figure this out, because this is not cool. I'm not sticking with this path. So yeah, that was definitely a big turning point as far as, okay, a decision has to be made, whether it's the right decision or a not correct path. But as long as we're moving in a different direction, the trajectory is different than it is now, then that's the right path, because it just cannot stay this way. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. So, I feel like that was really helpful. And yeah, like I said, back to the future self meditation, connecting with that future self and saying, what are the steps to get to you, to get to that? And even if it's fuzzy, even if it's not like solid steps, like you have to do this and that. It's just this idea of like, yeah, I'm working towards something. I'm working towards a better me. And that's all I want. I just want to be a better me.
Yeah, so. Better me than yesterday, more aware me, right? I want to explore. I want to play with life. And I love that you're bringing in the future self work. Is, by the way, an episode on the podcast as well where you guys can find the guided meditation. But it's almost like that's what I do as well still, right? But if I have a problem, if I have a project, if I have something, I'll be like, okay, let me tune into the energy of future Vilma, who's done it, right? And she's usually calmer, cooler, sassier, whatever she is. And she just be like, whatever, just relax or just make a decision, just the same as what we all get, right? It's like, it's okay. Yeah. But like kind of looking at our current situation and circumstances from that perspective, then you become more neutral and more grounded and more willing to make a decision or move forward or whatever it is that you need to do. Right? In the grand scheme of things, this is silly. I'm just wasting my time, really, engaging in my drama sometimes.
Like I said, the path had to change, whether it changes now and then changes again, or it changes now and sticks to that path. But either way, I do feel like the path that I'm on now is the path that I'm supposed to be on now. So, which is all we can ask for, right?
100%. And I want to talk a little bit about that as well, because through our process, basically we're identifying, okay, that sort of broadly called it helping profession, whatever it would be, but basically working with people's brains, energies, their spaces is aligned for you. And then we sort of then moved towards that direction and started looking at different modalities. Cause we worked with your Virgo self. So you did a lot of research it's thought work. I know it's thought work, but also I didn't want to discard, you know, that Virgo needed to do her research. I was like, okay, let's do the research, right? So we'll look at different modalities. And even at one point we discussed coaching, right? It's not that I'm pro coaching. I talk about it on my podcast. I think, and I hope that I had lots of resistance to coaching myself coming from a completely different structured environment. Coaching felt like so elusive and so weird. So it's not that I'm a fan of coaching, but I was like, let's consider all of the different paths for you, right, that are available, and let's look for alignment, because there's no like better or worse. There's more aligned paths and not more aligned paths. And the more we started having these, because you were open to even explore coaching at first, right? Because it would be maybe less of studying, maybe less financial investment. But what ended up, like what we would come back with over and over again was like, listen, I just don't think I'm someone who wants that. I feel like I want a camaraderie of maybe having a practice or working in a practice. I love the structured path. I love going deep into subjects. I love the idea of learning something that I want to, you know, learn and really have a lot of support and kind of resources, right, that I may need. Talk to me about that point.
And I think I love coaching too, obviously. and I think that they're definitely people who are really, really awesome coaches. And like, they're just, that's what they're made for. They're made for that flexible sort of path where they can choose their own hours. They can choose their own methods. They can choose their own, all the things, like their own specific focus. And I think that that's great. I mean, the world needs coaches for sure, because the therapy path is structured. It is set. It has set rules. It has set ethics, and it's very much like aligned around insurance and the medical community and things like that. So it has its limitations, for sure. But for me, Virgo or not, for the idea of going back to school, getting a degree and stuff, actually sounded appealing to me, as opposed to, and we went through the process of like, is it because I was afraid? Is it because it's just what's expected and all that? And in the end, it's just what I wanted. Like I felt a call to do that. I wanted to have a practice or be in a practice. At that point, I was like, I want to be in a practice. I want to have other therapists to collaborate with and to talk to, and to have that colleague interaction as well as have the interaction with clients. I didn't want, like, I don't want to mess with having the business and all that. Like, I just want to go to work. I want to do the thing and have my purpose of helping people, not have to worry about the back end portion of it. So that was my mindset then. And as we've progressed through this, it's adjusted a little bit, but I liked the structure. Yeah. And it's because but I can go off in different directions depending on the day. And again, that comes down to the time management. I get sucked into things. I get off track, but I feel like having a structured learning process, then I know I picked the path at the beginning and I know that I'm working towards that path one step at a time, one class, one piece. It's hasn't been very long now, but it feels really good. And it feels right. Like learning the stuff, reading all the articles, diving into it. I was telling you, I have to pull myself back and be like, okay, that's not what they asked for in this assignment. Like I can't dive into that study right now. I need to stick with this one.
Right.
So it is, it feels really good. And I think that I made the right choice as far as right. There's no right. Yeah. I made a good choice for me.
Yeah, good choice for current stage in your life.
Yeah. For now, this is the education I wanted around this.
So. I love that. But it's again, I love so much everything that you're sharing. And I love that it feels right because that's exactly what we want. It feels right. It feels like home. It feels interesting because that was one of your gremlins of like, will I be interested enough? Because you went through experience where you were not necessarily invested. Obviously, you had different life circumstances where you could not be maybe as present as you would have wanted to, but still it wasn't full alignment. So then the interest is not there. The energy is not there. Whereas now you're saying like, yeah, I need to like stop myself because it's like, I want to go in and deeper. And for someone like you, I completely agree. Having a more structured process that is outlined for you and there are clearer quote unquote rules is supportive of you. Right. Yeah. So again, that's coming not because because a lot of the times people will choose coaching. And again, I'm not throwing any shade, but like choose coaching because they think it's easier money or quicker process. Soon, like very quickly, they'll find that actually it's hard. Like it's just as hard as going conventional path.
Oh, absolutely. And to me, I could get into it quicker. I could transition quicker. And all of that. But to me, I needed the time. Number one, that's just me. Like I like change. I'm okay with change, but change has to be well thought out and in a process. And the idea of just like getting a certification and going forward and like all of a sudden I'm responsible for all of these pieces. And also I'm not really interested in all those pieces. Like I'm not interested in building a brand. I'm not interested in, doing all of the work that goes into coaching. That's not the actual like one-on-one. I want that knowledge. Like
yeah,
I want that.
Feels good. Yeah.
Yeah. And it does feel good. And it feels right to me right now. So, I think it's working out so far. So
yeah, cool.
Very happy.
Okay. That's what we want. I'm clapping. I want to talk also really quick because that is such a bookcase thing that happened to you before committing to school, right? So you did your research. We kind of were talking about, okay, therapy is the path. Then we looked, you did your research and looked at all the different types of therapy, right? Because you were interested in different things because you're like maybe holistic psychology, maybe like something with a more holistic aspect. But then in the end, you landed in like family therapy. And I think sex therapy was interesting too. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. I did all the research. We said therapy and then we looked at the modalities and did all the research into that. There's art therapy. There's so many modalities that I didn't even know about. There's music therapy and art therapy and cognitive behavioral therapy. And, but to me, obviously because of where I am in my life and what I've ever gone through recently, like the idea of marriage and family therapy really appealed, like helping families going through what my family's gone through, helping kids, helping adults and helping couples, you know, go through it. And then, additionally, I have a real interest in, ethical non-monogamy relationships. And that is really hard to find marriage therapists around that are open and understanding of that. And so I've read a lot about that. And so that is of particular interest to me as well, is like going in that direction. So marriage and family therapy around ethical non-monogamous relationships. I found this program and it was a marriage and family therapist accredited program. And then they had a focus on systemic sex therapy. And I was like, yes.
All the bells are like going off. You're like, that's it.
Yes. No, it was. It was definitely like one of those light bulb moments. And I was like, what is this program? I must know more. And so I looked at it, and it's not a certification in sex to be a sex therapist, but it is like a focus in that. And if you want to continue your education, you can go for that as well, the sex therapist, but which is also super interesting to me. It was one of the only online marriage and family therapist programs that I could find. And so it just like, it all kind of fell into place. Like it was, it's all accredited. It's all online. It's at your own pace. It's start when you want. And then it's got this sex therapy focused. I was like, oh, you know, this is exactly what I wanted.
For you. That's what happens. Yeah.
So it actually like, after all of this research, it paid off because I found that. And it was great. And so we talked about that. I went through the process, and I called it, like, to be fair, I called them and I called a bunch.
You did, straight away. Yeah. You were not procrastinating much on that.
And so we talked about that, and you were like, okay, I was like, I'm going to put in my application. And you're like, okay, I want a Voxer when you put in your application so that we can celebrate. And I was like, okay. So, I did my whole application. I got everything ready. I got my FAFSA ready, which is for financial aid. And I was all ready to go, and I submitted it. I texted you, we celebrated. And then it was probably like 3 days later. I was like, what did I do? This was terrible. I'm gonna spend all this money on this, and I don't even know if this is what I want. Like, this just feels really hard and like really big and deep and uncomfortable. And I just like, I started freaking out, and I was like, Vilma talks about this. I know this happens, but this time's different.
Yeah. And I was like, you're an exception to the rule. Yeah.
Exactly. This time is totally different. And I had the phone in my hand, and I was going to message you. And then I was like, no. If I go to Vilma, Vilma's going to try and bring up the blueprint. She's going to tell me that this is totally normal, and that this is the right process, and that this is not different than all the other times, and it's totally different. Like, I'm a totally different person. And wow. So I dove super deep. Like I said before, I was super into nutrition podcasts, so it's like, that's what I really want to be. Like, that seems like a super awesome direction for me. And so I started looking at nutrition programs, and I was like, I called a bunch of schools, and it was frantic. Like, it was 2 or 3 days of like frantic exploration of like what wakes you up in the middle of the night kind of thing. It was so unhealthy. But at the time I was like, okay, this is it. Like I look back, and as I mentioned to you before, Vilma, like, I didn't reach out, and part of me feels like I should have, but part of me is glad I didn't, because at the time I was just so worried about, and I didn't tell anybody I was going through that, because I was so worried about external influence, like about
something. That's true.
And so I talked to some schools, like I said, nutrition schools, like halfway through looking through the different pieces of it, I was started getting that feeling of like, this is frantic. Like, this is doubt. This doesn't feel good. Like, how this is a crazy energy almost. And so I stepped back, and I had a trip, a work trip that weekend. And I went down, and I did the show, and then I went out to brunch with a friend I hadn't seen in forever and ever and ever. And we talked, and she's around my age, and she's got three little kids that are around the same age as my kids. And she's just in that time of life like I was, you know, where things are hard, and you're in a career that you just don't know if that's the right career. You spent all this time getting into and spent investing money into it and time and effort. And she's just not sure if she's in the right place. And she's wants to find like some comfort in that. And then she's also like, she's in a hard time with her time of life, because you have little kids, and it makes marriage really hard. And so she wasn't like, there was no specific things, but just talking to her and realizing like, well, this is so normal. Like, this is so normal for us all to feel like that. The women, like at this point in their life with some little kids and the career and all that, to feel like this. And talking to her, I just felt so much connection. And I felt really good to talk with her in that way and say, you know, this is normal and you're not crazy. And like, you are validated. Like, this is okay for you not to be okay right now. And that you maybe should look into to other things, even though you're parents might not like it or whatever. Helping her, I don't even know if I helped her, but listening to her and having that conversation actually helped me a lot, because I realized that I got a lot out of that. I felt like I was being my genuine self, like listening and hearing people and seeing them. And that's what I think people want. I think people want to be seen and heard. And I just want to be able to offer that. And I think that doing that in therapy makes a lot more sense than doing it in nutrition. And in the end, she kind of helped me see that that's actually the path that I really wanted. As I reflected more and more on that conversation, I was like, okay, these are my people. These are the people I want to help. And this is the path that I think that I can help them on. Yeah, it was to me, I looked back on it and I was like, okay, this is the universe giving me a tiny little gift and saying, see, this is where you want to go. Like, this is really what you want to do. And so when I came back, I signed up, I checked all the boxes, went through all the things, and started class. So,
yay. So it has a happy ending, but like the whole turmoil you went through, like Michelle didn't even tell me. She only told me recently when she came on the call.
Yeah,
she
was
like, oh, Vilma, I went through a lot. I was like, why didn't you reach out? And then you explained to me and I said, you know what? I love this. I love that you made this autonomous decision, even though exactly you already knew what I'm going to tell you. Listen, went through the process. This is your blueprint. People go through that. Like, this is textbook scenario. And that is a reason why we do so much thought work at the beginning and all throughout the process for that moment that you went through. Because that moment always happens, whether it's before signing papers, whether it's before jumping on a plane, whenever we're really close to that new life, gremlins or whatever you want to call them, the resistance will try one more time. And you're so right. It feels like frantic, like chaotic energy. And you're like in the middle of the hurricane and you're like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just like, you know, laying this energy out, right? Like I'm not participating. It's almost like it's doing it for me, right?
Yes.
So I love that you managed, first of all, thank you, universe, for bringing your friend into your life to remind you, right, what your path truly is. And also that you sat down and made that autonomous decision, because now you exercise that muscle and you have a reference point of how to do that, right? Like, yes, moving forward, you'll be like, I've been through that. It's not scary. I've done it once. I can do it again whenever you need to make another big decision in your life.
Absolutely. And I think I needed it. Everybody kind of needs that, like, pull back so that you can push forward with real conviction, you know, and say, this was my decision. I believed in this path wholeheartedly. And I believe that this is the path for me. And you know what, Vilma, in the end, and this is, I think I said this to you last time we talked, like in the end, if it's a year into this process and I decide it's not the path for me, then whatever. Then I'll just pick a different one. But I don't think that's going to happen, because
I'm listening to you. I'm like, girl, it's not going to happen.
No. I honestly don't think it is, but I'm not scared of that happening.
Yeah.
Like, and that was the fear around making a decision before, was that I was afraid that it would be a decision that I could never pull back from. And the idea that no, like, this decision is not something that's irreversible, helps me see, like, yeah, I'm choosing to take this path every day and I'm choosing to go along with this. And this is not something I'm being dragged along into. It is something I want and I desire. And this is something that I'm called to. And so I want to fulfill that, you know? And I don't think that we spend a lot of time thinking about that in life, is what we really need and want. Mm-hmm. Outside the lens of what everybody else expects of us. So, but that's not really what you need and want. That's what everybody else wants. So it is, it is hard. It's definitely hard, but I think hard, that,
but it's worth it, right? Like, look at where you're at now, right? Like, it's so worth it. And just to wrap up a couple, I have a few more things that I want to ask you is, one of the concerns that you had, you still have, is time. Obviously, you're in a transition period. Like you mentioned, you still are holding on to your day job because of the commitments that you have. You're more neutral about it, which is all we ever want in misaligned places. However, like, I know that it's the beginning of the process for you, but when we spoke to you last time, you said, well, actually, now that I have direction, like, it allows me to be more neutral at work, but also it kind of forces me to be intentional with my time. So if when I need to study, I need to study. When I'm with my kids, I need to be with my kids because I can't be all over the place anymore. So that is actually helping you. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, it is helping me a lot. And I think that the process going through with you, like we discussed time management so much in that I feel like I got a better grip on it. It's just awareness, you know, awareness of how we're spending time and how we're, sabotaging ourselves essentially around time and becoming aware. Like, it's not perfect ever. It's never going to be perfect, but the awareness around it helps so much. And I built in time for our work and the work around the thought work, the thought models, the worksheets and all of the things. And so I built the time around that, and I've held that time since our sessions got further and further apart. I held that time in the morning, trying to make buckets of time and be very intentional around them. Like, this is the time I get ready. This is the time I get my coffee. But I realized that when I say this hour is built for school, this hour is built for school. And I made a space and I made a time that was specific for that. I have a separate desk, a separate place that I study, and I go there, and that's I only study there. I only do my schoolwork there. It's a specific place. And then I had to have that. I had to have a separate from work because it's all online. Everything's online. So then when that's done, I'll do a little yoga or meditation. I break it out, and then I transition into work. And then I get to work, I go to my separate desk, I do my work, I stay in that space. And then as soon as work's done, like, I transition out. Like, and having those transition times works a lot. But yeah, I had to make sure that I save space for my kids, for my work, for all that. Like, the school is really important. And it does bleed. Like, if we're sitting on the couch watching TV, I'll study. But for the most part, like, I tried to be present with them, and I try to be present for school, like 100%. But it does take some awareness and some conscious
effort, intentionality. 100%, yes. Right, you need to protect those buckets of times. And I love that you zoned it out, and like, you created zones where you're like, I need to have that separation, because if it's just one computer, one workplace, I'll be studying, thinking about work, or working and thinking about studying. Or when I'm doing either of those, I'll be thinking I'm not spending time with my kids. Mm-hmm. Now, when everything has sort of a pocket of time, usually what people notice is that, because you're not the first one, not the first career changer that tells me about, like, this is a byproduct of change, of like, I just became so much more intentional. And that actually made me a better mom, a more present friend, right? Like, I don't know, a better lover, you know, more present at work. And I procrastinate much less because I just don't have the time, and I'm very conscious about it. Right.
Absolutely. So that's the beauty of it. No. And I agree, like, that at work, like the procrastination, like I had so much anxiety and feeling around it that before, that it would take me days to do something that I didn't want to do, or that I thought was too much work or whatever. And now I'm like, nobody's got time for that. Like, let's just get down to business and like get it done. Cause I don't have time to think about it in the evening. I don't want to think about it in the evening. Once I'm done with work, I'm done. And I don't, like, I'm trying to, and I have been over the last few weeks, especially as I transition into school, be very diligent about like, this is my time. I'm going to spend it my way. And like, you cannot have that time. That is not the time for you. It's with work, obviously.
I was wondering who you were talking to.
yeah. Kids do not have boundaries like that. Yeah. But they are conscious. Like I pick times purposely around them. So, cause I know that their boundaries are permeable. Yeah. Or my boundaries with them are as far as time goes. So they're conscious of when I have school and things like that, but I try to pick times when I don't have them, or that they're asleep or whatever. Yeah. So, and I try to pick times too, where I know that I can focus better. Morning time's really good for me. I can focus really well in the morning. Afternoon, not so great. So, and we talked about this too, Vilma, like picking things that are, you know, more tedious or you don't have to think about in those times. Just again, being aware around your energy levels and buckets and things like that. So, but I do think that physical space really helps. If I could make a recommendation to anyone going through or trying to have to work from home or anything like that, I had a space once where it was all together, and that physical space just, it infiltrates your brain. Like you're just looking at it all the time. And so even when you're not working, you're thinking about it because it's right there. So having that separate physical space for different things, different parts of your life is really necessary.
Even if it's different corners of one room. Maybe yes. You have one room, yes. Right? Like it doesn't have to be elaborate, separate room to like set up for something perfectly, right? It's just like a different corner. Love that. Okay, cool. Love it. There's such a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing, Michelle. I know that it will, like you said, it will make a lot of people feel seen and heard. And a lot of people probably can relate because, you know, like you said, we have this thought that like, I know that people go through that, but my case is different and it's very human. I feel sometimes the same myself when I ask for coaching and they're like this and that. My coach would say this and that. And I'd be like, oh, this is like literally what my coach, my clients on. Like, it's just the same kind of primal brain doing its thing, right? It's not unique at all. While we're individual, certain patterns and the way that we are sort of conditioned are similar. So having gone like through the process, and again, you're in a transition. So going into the next phase of your career change, right? Of actually studying for it. And then there's a path laid out where you'll have to go into intern, right? Into intern as well to get your hours. And yeah. Stuff like that. But having gone through the initial phase, and that's why you and I decided to speak, like just like all of my other clients who are like, yeah, we're not transitioned fully yet, but this is such a big step for me to even be able to arrive to this point where I'm committing to something new. So what is the advice that you like to give your past self or other career changers who are like at the beginning of the journey?
This is something that my future self told me. and I think it's probably the most important part of my process. And it's, have grace for yourself. There's not enough. You think you have it. You need more. Like you need to give yourself that space and that understanding and that love that either you're looking for from others or that validation. Like validate yourself and know that all of the hard things that you go through are normal. All of the feelings that you feel are normal and worthy of your attention and time. And the more you try to put them off and ignore them, the harder it's going to be to face them. So face them as they come and understand that that's just part of the journey and that's part of being human. And that is 100% okay. I think that that's the hardest thing because we're taught over and over again that you're supposed to be a certain way. You're supposed to hold a certain space for yourself. You're supposed to give everything to everybody. Especially women.
Especially women,
but men too.
The same. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, men too, but especially women. And I think that we can't care for ourselves enough. Like we need to know that we're worthy of it. And you're worthy of all of your feelings and thoughts. So just be patient and love yourself. So
love that. So simple, right? As a lot of the times when I ask career changers, they'll say something along the lines of like, just be patient, just trust the process. Like it's all working out for you, even though it doesn't feel like it sometimes. It really is hard, but like it still is that movement forward, even if it is dark, in that movement sometimes in some chapters, right?
Yeah. And if you just, I mean, like, if you just keep moving, that's what matters. You need stillness too, but knowing that this process is going to take some time, and that's the point. The point is to learn by building that foundation of yourself and learning about yourself, knowing yourself. You know that you're making the right choices for you in the moment. And I think that just having that internal validation to me after this process helps so much. It makes me feel so much more like I can do anything. Like I can be, and I'm working towards being me, being whole and being myself. And I am whole already, but being more genuine, which is exactly what I want. My genuine self.
Yeah. So that your outside and inside match, right? And the way that you show up in all kinds of ways, the way you look, the way you speak, the way you think, the way you, I don't know, do everything, like it's alignment within and without. I love that. So beautifully said. Thank you so much, Michelle. I love this conversation. Oh my goodness. Oh, so many gems here.
Thank you, Velma. I appreciate it. Thank you for letting me come on. Like I said before, I love your podcast. Still do listen to it. Might not listen to this one because I don't like my voice, but but I do love listening to everybody else's career change journeys. And I think that you have lots of bits of wisdom sprinkled throughout all of the podcasts, and really good tools and exercises. So definitely encourage people to listen to all of them and reach out.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Michelle. Thank you for being on this journey. Thank you for allowing me to accompany you
on your own
disenfoldment. And have one more session.
Couldn't have done it without you.
Yes. Thank you so much. Please listen to this podcast though, because the consistent feedback that I get from people who come on the podcast is that this podcast, when they are in this energy sharing the journey, then continues to support them as they go through different challenges, because in that energy, you're like elevated, almost future self conversations that we're having here, right? And then those kind of dips that will be inevitable, they go back to the podcast and they get re-inspired by themselves. So my advice for you is like, listen back. You'll probably learn something and hear something that is going to be like, oh, did I say that? That was good.
So juicy.
So juicy. Go, Michelle. Anyway, thank you so much again for your time, for your wisdom. And I'll speak to you in the next session. And to listeners, I'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Thanks, Velma.
Thank you for spending time with me today. If you've been seeking guidance on your career change journey, this is the perfect time to consider joining a holistic career change group coaching program, where I'll be taking a handful of like-minded women like yourself through the holistic process to help you land a new aligned career that feels like getting paid for being yourself. We're starting June 21st, 2023, and the enrollment will start beginning of June. You can find the link with information in the show notes. Can't wait to meet you.